Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He swings! Alexander Steen on his forehand. Hits a deep to left field. That's way back.
Get up.
Shoot,
score!
And it's a gunner! Bring out the Zamboni!
Oh, yeah!
This is a legendary KMOX Sports Open Line. Presented by Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford. Celebrating over 50 years serving St. Louis on America's Sports Voice. KMOX.
It is the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line time. Welcome in. Chris Rebby with you on KMOX until 9 o'clock tonight. The Thursday, July 26th, 2018 edition of the program. Happy to be with you on a rainy day, but at least things cooled down. And on an off day for the Cardinals before the Cubs come a-calling tomorrow. Lots coming up over the next 3 hours. A lot of baseball coming up over the next 3 hours. Kyle McClellan going to be with me at 6:30. We'll talk all things Cardinals with Kyle. And then from 7 until 9, it is the Strike Zone powered by Graybar. Benjamin Hockman of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch is going to be my guest. Ben, also the author of a new Cardinals book, The Big 50, The Men and Moments That Make Up the St. Louis Cardinals. So we're going to talk a ton of baseball over the next 3 hours. Cardinals come back from their trip. Losers of 5 of 8. Excuse me. And now, with the Cubs winning earlier today, are 9 games back in the division, 5 games back at the moment of the second wild card spot. So, you know, with 5 days until the trade deadline, some perhaps intrigue this weekend. Dakota Hudson was yanked early from a start last night. The Cardinals be making a couple of moves, maybe moving some guys off the roster to make room for Hudson. He's not on the 40-man, so there would need to be a roster move made. And what does that mean for the rotation this weekend? Right now, scheduled Weaver, Michaelis, Gant. What does that mean moving forward? So a lot to talk about over the next 3 hours. If you want to get in touch with the program, I invite you to do so at 436-7900, 314-436-7900, or 800-925-1120. You can follow me on Twitter. Tweet me at C-H-R-A-B-E, C-H-R-A-B-E. Follow us on Twitter at KMOX Sports. That is where you'll get breaking news, behind-the-scenes photos, and more. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at KMOX Sports. Ben Boyd is the executive producer of the program.
I've just been listening to you guys and laying in bed and falling asleep.
Mike Anderson is my guy!
I got 20 Yakupovs. 20 Yakupovs. I'm a Tukarev fanboy.
The guy ain't no good. He's making billions of dollars, and he's scoring 5 goals a year.
I got 50 cards of him.
Huh?
You got, I got 50 cards of him?
Well,
and
I got 50 cards of him, too. The card I got that's worth, it used to be worth $150, is worth about maybe 20 now.
Worth the payoff. And Mike is here in the KMOX studios. It is the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. I welcome Mike Anderson to the program for the first time tonight.
I'm done.
You know what today is?
National Wing Day?
Nope.
I don't know.
10th anniversary of the movie Step Brothers.
Ooh. It's a classic.
It's,
saw it in theaters.
It is a classic, and it's also up there as one of the most rewatchable movies, I think. If it's on, you'll stop and watch it. If you see it on Netflix, you'll watch it. You'll quote it. Doesn't matter where you pick it up. Doesn't matter how long you watch. One of the most rewatchable movies that, you know, would be on my list of about 10. So in the spirit of Caller Dave, I need a quick list, a quick Mount Rushmore of your most rewatchable movies. This is so hard. I made a list of like 10. I guess 12. And this is just kind of off the top of my head. I didn't really want to look at websites, but I was thinking about what I watch, what we watched all the time in college, what I watch when it's on. And I wanted kind of a cross-section of a bunch of different genres, all right?
Okay.
So here's what I came up with. And this doesn't mean the 10 best movies or the 12 best movies of all time. Settle down, Mark Reardon. This is just entertaining. Maybe you can be doing other stuff while it's on. You don't need to be 100% locked in. You can be looking at your phone. You can come and go. You can go to a commercial, whatever. So just jotting them down. I jotted down Step Brothers. This is in no particular order because the list was kind of inspired by Step Brothers.
Are we playing match game here? Do I ding if we have a match?
Yeah, let me read mine and then okay. Tell me if any of these would be on your list.
I didn't get to prep for this.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted off the top of your head. I don't need like a full list from you.
Okay,
just,
okay.
This is just kind of what I came up with. Step Brothers, Caddyshack, Happy Gilmore, Wedding Crashers, Goodfellas, Office Space, Mean Girls.
Wow.
The Rock, Pulp Fiction, The Matrix, Dark Knight, and a sentimental favorite, Hot Rod.
Ooh.
That's kind of my just random 12.
Yeah, I thought Hot Rod was going to be so terrible the first time I watched
it. Incredible.
And yeah, I couldn't get off the couch. It was amazing.
If you're an Andy Samberg and a Lonely Island fan,
and
do
you
yourself
like to party,
have an open mind and watch Hot Rod. So I kind of jotted those down. And I know those are all probably high on the Rotten Tomatoes lists and whatever, but I kind of just jotted those down. If I had to cut it to 4, gosh, it's really hard. I would say like a lot of times the rewatchable, quotable ones and the ones you kind of grew up watching for me would be more the funny, the comedy. And I'd probably go... Like, if you could only watch 4 of these movies for the rest of your life or you're on a desert island, I think I'd go Caddyshack, Wedding Crashers, probably Hot Rod, and then I would throw in either Goodfellas or Pulp Fiction, probably.
It's so tough.
So tough. Give me Pulp Fiction, because I think you can just watch that in a lot of different levels and watch it as like a different movie almost.
Yeah, I love it.
Give me yours. Well, and any that I left off that you would put on there for sure?
Let's see.
Or any that come to mind for you?
I'm a big Lebowski guy.
See,
every
that's
time
another
I watch
one,
that,
like Pulp Fiction.
Every
I'm
time
just,
I watch that, I pick up on something new that you didn't catch last time.
That... I would say that there's like a Big Lebowski camp, a Pulp Fiction camp. Big Lebowski's a good one. I just never was like super into it.
Right.
But that is one that I think a ton of people would have even on their Mount Rushmore, their desert island list.
Yeah. I agree with you on Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison. Those are probably the two.
Billy Madison's
movies
a great one
that
too.
I grew up on most when you're getting to that age. When
Billy
you can
Madison's
watch,
a great one too.
Yeah, watch some raunchy movies away from your parents. Some of the
age of 32. For
you know,
me.
Some of the underrated ones to me that kind of fit in line with the more recent comedy. I'm a big Forgetting Sarah Marshall and
it's
a big Knocked Up guy. I like
great
both of those.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall is a great one and. Another one that when it's on TV, you can just jump in and watch it, and it's awesome.
Yeah, that's
Jason Segel is great. Gosh, that's a really, really good
and
one.
And I don't think you said Pineapple Express either.
No,
that,
that's another.
That one always cracks me
if
up.
If you're a Seth Rogen James Franco.
James Franco kicking his foot through the windshield while driving is about as good as it gets.
That's a really good one, too.
But to counter your Pulp Fiction, I do love Pulp Fiction, but an underrated one is, to me, is Reservoir Dogs. I can watch Reservoir Dogs all day. So,
I think, like,
obviously in the storyline. So,
well, and a lot of these also, it's sentimental value, right? Like, The Rock growing up, one of my buddies, like, had that on DVD, and it was one of the first, I think, like, rated R movies that we could watch, like, whenever we wanted, and we watched it every time we had a sleepover, and it was great. Kind of corny, the Nick Cage thing and right. Sean Connery, but it's just a kind of, you don't need to be in the zone to watch it. You can just jump in at any moment. It's going to be entertaining. Speed is kind of like that. Die Hard's kind of like
Speed,
that.
Speed, wow.
Speed's a good one. Die Hard's kind of like that. The original?
Yeah, Die Hard's a classic.
Kind of like The Matrix, too. You can just jump in and you'll catch something that maybe you didn't catch.
Particularly the first one, to me.
Right, the first one.
Yeah, I think we hit most of the ones that came to mind to me.
It's a good list.
I could always go back and watch The Sandlot. And you're right about the ones that you grew up on. Largely because of my dad's influence, I can always go back and have a good time watching the miniseries of Lonesome Dove.
Wow.
Which is on Netflix now.
What is that?
So it's a old cowboy western that a book, and then they did a miniseries. It's got a bunch of big-name actors, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Robert Duvall, Tommy Lee Jones, Danny Glover, a young Diane Lane. So, yeah, that's kind of the nostalgic one for me. That or Josie Wales with Clint Eastwood.
You can text me at 436-7900 or tweet me at CHRABE. I'm going to ask a panel about this. I'm going to ask Reardon. I'm going to ask Klaibs. And I guess I got to whittle mine down. So if you could only have four, Desert Island Anderson, you can only have four. I'll let you think about it. We'll talk about it at the end of the hour. That's tough. Now I don't even know what my four would be. Do you want a cross-section of different genres, or do you want just to kind of load up on the comedy? Or it's tough. It is a tough question. It means it's a good question.
Well, I'll come up with a list, and I'll have it.
All right. We'll have time for a couple of calls and texts and tweets as well. Kyle McClellan is going to join me coming up as well. It's Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Chris Raby with you. We have the Strike Zone powered by Graybar from 7 until 9. But Kyle's talking Cardinals next on KMOX.
This is the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Do you have any Kyle McClellan cards?
Kyle McClellan? I'm sure I do. Who is he?
Oh! Burn!
Yep.
Getting a couple of good texts at 436-7900. Jaws, Aliens, Super Troopers. Joe Dirt, someone says. Sneaky. Shawshank, Stripes, Escape from Alcatraz, Back to School. Probably be embarrassed by how many movies I haven't seen. So Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford, Sports Open Line, Kyle McClellan. Coming up momentarily, but let's squeeze in a couple of phone calls. And we say hello to Susan. Hey, Susan.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Okay, thank you. How are you?
Great.
Good. I was thinking of Confessions of a Shopaholic, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, Cabaret, Music Man, and Waterboy.
Waterboy really fits with the other four. I like that.
Thank you.
That's a good one. Thanks, Susan. That's a good list. Any of the Adam Sandler Happy Madison ones are so rewatchable. Maybe not later on the spectrum, but definitely the first, like, handful that he did. Man, what a perfect lead-in to Kyle McClellan. Dave!
Yes, I have Kyle MacLellan cards.
God bless you. How are you, brother?
I'm doing pretty good.
You got some movies?
They're not worth much money, but
yeah, it's okay.
I know I've got some.
Well, he's coming up next. He'll be happy to hear that. Well, you got some movies for me?
Sure. How about An Officer and a Gentleman?
Oh, Dave, that's a great call by you.
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly?
Great call by you.
Goldfinger.
We have talked about your affinity for Bond, right?
Yes. I like him quite a bit. I grew up with him. And I like Clint Eastwood.
So you are a... Okay, Clint Eastwood.
And, You gotta go with the Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz, man. Good one. So you're a Sean Connery Bond, huh?
Yeah.
So Wizard of Oz, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Goldfinger, Officer and a Gentleman.
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
The Bad and the Ugly.
I'm a Clint Eastwood man.
Just like him, you are a bad, bad dude, Dave.
I like him quite a bit.
Dave, that's a sharp list.
Okay.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later.
My list.
I love it. I love it. Thank you, Dave.
Okay.
It's the best. Really quick, one more before Kyle. Jerry, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Two of my favorites in the mid-60s. I might be dating myself a little bit, but it's a mad world. And the second most favorite of all time is Kelly's Heroes.
Nice. Good list.
Yeah.
You and Dave could collaborate. That's good, Jerry. Mad world. That's good. Thank you, man. I like this. You can keep the texts coming in. 436-7900. A lot of votes for Shawshank. That's a good one. Sean on Twitter says Shawshank as well. All right, Kyle MacLellan joins us. He's always brought to us by Ameren, Illinois, fresh off of the golf course. How did you play?
Actually, if I break 100, is a good day. But
good day.
I couldn't tell you the last time that I played my own score. Usually at scrambles, yeah. At charity events. So today I played with two buddies of mine from high school that it's just good to be out on the course. And I actually shot a 94, I think. So
pretty good.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Where'd you guys play at?
I play at the Bluffs out in St. Charles.
Nice. I love that course.
Mm-hmm. That's a little narrow there at the beginning.
That's a tough one, too. That's a really good score there.
Well, I'll take a 94 all day long.
Did you get poured on out there, or was it okay?
We had to stop for a little bit, get under some shade, and under some trees, and then it wasn't bad. Played in some sprinkle for about half of it, but it wasn't bad.
You know,
good
just
day on the course.
You know, outdoorsmen like us, we
right.
embrace the elements, Kyle. That's part of the experience. It's part of what makes the game the game. What makes the outdoors. It's Mother Nature.
Chris, every time we outdoorsmen, it just doesn't do it.
Is it bad if I have to bring like multiple phone chargers and my Bluetooth speaker and as many electronics as I have in my apartment out to the golf course with me?
And your skinny jeans on like an outdoorsman cannot wear skinny jeans when you're hunting, Chris.
Well, I mean, I'm camo when I'm hunting. We're Team Under Armour. Yeah.
No, not Under Armour.
Uh-oh. Who
Nomad.
Are we?
Nomad.
Oh, never mind.
Under Armour's out. They don't back their people. They're
oh,
out.
Sorry. You want to give our new plug for our Drury team?
No, not our jury team, my jury team. You're not on the team, Chris.
By association. We're a team here at KMOX, so it's kind of like, the extended family tree. Kyle MacLellan is with us. Kyle, what a trip for the Cardinals. 8 games, 7 days. The 5 in Chicago, then to Cincinnati. You had some sketchy weather. You had some really, really long games. Mike Schilt said yesterday that he wasn't making excuses, but to see the way his team played, he actually came out of the trip, despite the record, with a little more confirmation of what he believed in his team. As a fan, you might roll your eyes, but as a player, even if the results aren't what you want, can you draw positives from a trip like that, especially under a new manager?
Yeah, you're always looking to draw positives. For me, the positive that I saw that trip is more young talent. And I'm hoping that we get to see more of that here over the next few weeks, whatever the moves are made here in the next few days. But, you know, your team's at a point where I don't think the Cardinals are going to be buyers at the deadline. I think there's too many holes. There's too many gaps there that they can go out and have to fill. But they're certainly still a capable team, and they have a lot of young talent. That their AAA team has been very successful the last 2 years. Let's see some of that. Let's see what they have. Let's give these guys some experience. And then coming into next season, they're going to be that much ahead versus them being down in Memphis and getting a September call-up. And so I'd like to see that. I'd like to see Mike Myers in some bigger situations out of the bullpen. Tui Vilala gets some more opportunities. And some of these starting pitchers that we got to see in Cincinnati, and boy, were they fun to watch.
Yeah, I start to wonder, like, with the deadline, we always talk about buyers and sellers, Kyle. But I wonder if this team could benefit from, in a way, selling and then buying from within the organization. And far be it for me,
absolutely.
Far be it for me to just wave off Brett Cecil and the tens of millions of dollars he's owed, or Greg Holland and however many million dollars he's owed, or Luke Gregerson. And I don't want to be flippant about some of the money and some of the astronomical dollars, but if you could at some point part ways with those guys, create space, you could buy from within the organization and see if those guys can get on a run or see what they can do for you.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Let's see some of those guys. You know, the two young pitchers we got to see in Cincinnati, and then you got Hudson coming up. And, you know, what do they offer you next year? Because that you're going to need to know that going into the offseason to figure out what moves you're going to have to make to retool in free agency and trades maybe that come up this offseason. So it's a great way to start evaluating this young talent and get them up there and see what you actually have. It's one thing to have prospects at AAA. It's a whole other thing to have guys that can produce at the big league level. And so let's see what they have. And I agree with you on the bullpen especially. I mean, that's been a big issue for the team all year. I mean, leaving spring training, that was the number one thing I think that we all thought was, you know, their bullpen is going to have to – they're going to have to make some moves. They go out and get Greg Holland. Jordan Hicks comes out of nowhere, and you start thinking, okay, this is going to be better. But it's really been a downfall of this team. And let's move on from some of those guys that haven't been able to turn that corner, and let's see what some of these young guys possess.
What does that do for a team when you know that, Kyle, I don't want to say necessarily jobs aren't safe, and again, you can't really assume that they're going to go around cutting guys, and who knows what they'll do with the roster, but, you know, there was a move made in 2015. There was a move made in 2014 to trade Alan Craig and Joe Kelly, get some playing time for Oscar Tavares, and bring in a guy in John Lackey. There could be guys that lose their jobs if they don't perform, and then young guys come up and get opportunities. Knowing that, and regardless of the record or where you are in the race, knowing that you're never safe, what does that do for a player? What can that do for a clubhouse?
Well, I think there's two kind of takeaways from it. One, it shows you that what we're doing right now isn't good enough, and we're going to have to be better. The organization expects better. The fans expect better. And as players, they expect better as well. I mean, they didn't come in to get into shape and come into spring training to say, hey, we're just going to be a 500 team. No, they came in to compete and to get to the postseason. So they're certainly not happy with the way that this season has gone either. And then the other part of it is your young guys, it kind of energizes them a little bit. You know, those guys in Memphis and those guys that are at the big leagues right now as young guys are getting more opportunity to show what they can do. And we talk about it all the time that, you know, opportunity is very limited at the major league level. And when you get that opportunity, you better make the most of it. So if you're a young guy right now, you're licking your chops going, hey, here's a way I can get my foot in the door and start to establish myself as a guy that can play every day in the big leagues or be in the rotation or be a piece for this bullpen next year. So that I would look at it as certainly opportunity. And also just a reminder that 500 isn't good enough in this town for these fans and this organization.
Yeah, we talk about all the young pitching all the time, but there's certainly some really good young position players, including Tyler O'Neill. I don't know how many teams would have a guy with 25 home runs in the minor leagues and who's done it in the amount of games that he has still in the minor leagues.
Yeah, and I think it's harder, you know, just to talk about position players and get them in because some of your staples are your
sure.
Outfielders. You know, that are going to have to play.
And
get their at-bats. Yeah, you know, from the pitching side, I think it's easier to plug guys in and find innings for guys. So certainly when you start looking, I'd really have to sit down and kind of look more at how you could create opportunities and some of these guys in AAA that you'd be wanting to find.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're going to have your guys that aren't leaving. Matt Carpenter is going to keep getting at bats. Yadier Molina, you know, Colton Wong is going to keep getting at bats. You know, some of these guys, Ozuna, they're going to have to get the at bats in. And so it's a little bit harder, but that's always the case. It's harder to establish yourself
yeah.
at the big league level from a position player standpoint.
And isn't there certainly the balance and the difficulty of, all right, we could have this guy up and he might play once a week and pinch hit
right.
a couple of times, but you know, as much as Tyler O'Neill is mashing, you know, pitching in AAA, he's still 23 years old. He's been in pro ball for a handful of years, was drafted in 2013. But what good does that do him right now compared to getting every day at bats in the minors if you're thinking big picture and maybe next year or even the year after?
Yeah, and that's what the front office always has to do. They have to be mindful, obviously, of current time and where the team is at right now, but also that 2 to 3 year window as well when you're projecting guys out, and you don't want to stunt somebody's growth. We talked about it with Carson Kelly for a long time. You know, you could have him up here sitting behind Yachty, but really what good does that do? And we saw it, you know, he really regressed offensively and defensively
yeah.
to the point where he had to go down to Memphis and get back to playing every day. So that's something that the front office is always aware of. You know, anytime it's a season ticket holder event that you hear John Mozeliak at, you know, he says that all the time. Look, I always have to think, you know, 2 to 4 years out, I think maybe 2 to 3 years, of what's best for this team as well. You can never lose sight of that, or you could find yourself in a bad position pretty quickly. So it's good to have that young talent, and they certainly have a lot of it that's ready, but there's some that's not, and that might value you know, need those at-bats and need that time in AAA to become a more well-rounded player. So when they get that opportunity, they can stay.
You know, I think part of the big picture that you're looking at, and I know fans always clamor for moves at the deadline, and you'll see teams trade prospects to go all in on players that may be rentals or may not be with your club long term. But if you're the Cardinals too, even if you're thinking about moves and who you might try to acquire or who you might try to trade, you've got to think in terms of the division. We know the Cubs are going to continue to be great. We know the Brewers are very, very, very good. They acquired Joachim Soria from the White Sox today. Pittsburgh Pirates have won 11 of 12, and they look like a really, really good team. You have to take into consideration not just how you're going to look, but how the division's going to look, right?
Yeah, well, and you got to think about how you're going to look in that division next year with the pieces that these teams are acquiring and what they have, and so you have to keep that in mind. You know, you don't want this to become a trend where all of a sudden you're finishing third or fourth in the division. So you got to kind of keep up with what guys are doing, but you got to keep an eye on it. But you can't go all in just because the Chicago Cubs are going all in. It has to make sense for where you're at the time. And look, the Cardinals have pieces. They have the right mix of guys in there. Not the right mix, obviously, but they have a good mix of guys that are extremely capable. This isn't a completely start from scratch team. You bring in a couple key pieces here, and you could really make a difference. And they've tried to do that to their credit with Zuna and Dexter Fowler and some of these additions they've made over the last few years. It just hasn't panned out. And so they're going to have to look at what does that look like this offseason? Where do we go from here? Where do we add? Where do we focus at? Is it starting pitching? Is it our bullpen? Is it, you know, a big bat in the lineup? You only got Ozuna for one more year. You know, there's a lot of decisions that still have to be made, but some of these young players could be a key piece of that.
All right, Kyle, we know you have to get to dinner. I want to bounce one more thing off you, though. And as we see some trades, specifically with what the Yankees are doing, as they just keep acquiring bullpen pieces, it's incredible. The guys that they have back there now, especially with Aroldis Chapman and Zach Britton and Dylan Betances, they pick up Jay Happ.
That's a good example of, sorry to cut you off, but that's a great example of Boston. Right, so like what we were just talking about in the division, I mean, those two teams are by far the best team in baseball.
Yeah,
and so they're having to go through this, and they're pushing each other to make all these acquisitions, like you just mentioned.
Well, and my question was, we're seeing the Yankees kind of amass just as many good pitchers as they can. Like, they're not necessarily worried about we're going to go out and get this starter or this starter. They've got some good starters. They have some guys who have underperformed, but they're just collecting as many really good pitchers as they can. And I'm not saying that they're going to eliminate a rotation, but especially in the playoffs, we've seen it the last few years where instead of starters and relievers, you almost just have pitchers, and you say, how do we get 27 outs? I know agents might not like that. I know that players may not love that, but that might be, I don't think we're ever going to eliminate a rotation, but that might almost be kind of where we're heading, isn't it?
Well, you go back to 2011 when we won, our bullpen threw more innings than our than our starters did. And that was when the roots of just kind of getting our starters through. Sometimes it was three, four innings and the bullpen would come in. And the bullpen was hot. And so we saw it with Cleveland. We saw it with Kansas City had a dynamic bullpen. Houston certainly has you know, they had a good rotation. But you're seeing this trend here in baseball, especially in the postseason. You know, obviously you manage differently and you play differently in postseason than you do for the whole regular season schedule. But if you can shorten that game, I mean, and on pitchers, I mean, these guys that are throwing 100 miles an hour that are untouchable, they are absolutely dynamic come postseason. I mean, those strikeout pitchers, you get a two-run lead and you start unleashing a couple of those guys, it's tough. And so if you can do that, plus they have the horsepower in the lineup to obviously put up the runs, you can get a lead early and unleash your bullpen for cover four or five innings. You feel like you got a pretty good chance to win with the off days and all that too. You can throw those guys out there almost every game.
Kyle McClellan, brought to us by Ameren Illinois. Change out your air filter every 30 days to prevent energy loss. Energy savings made easy at Ameren Illinois. All right, man. We will catch you this weekend for Cards Cubs.
All right. Thanks.
All right. That's Kyle. We'll take a break. I've got some more movies coming in on the text line. We'll get Mike's thoughts as well before the Strike Zone, powered by Graybar and KMOX.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, getting some good movies coming in. Text from my dad. He said Paper Chase. That's a good one. I have to throw into the list too, Mike, and this, you might agree as well. And I watched it for the first time with my dad, I think when my mom was out of town. Slapshot.
Ooh, classic.
Probably one of the first rated R's that we slid in there. That's just a classic as well. People on the text line saying some great ones. Tombstone, Spaceballs, Roadhouse. Leaded or unleaded. Leaded. Swayze. The best bouncer in the world goes to the worst bar in the world, the Double Deuce. Roadhouse is one of my favorite random cult classic movies. Taken, Blues Brothers, Rudy, Slapshot, Major League, Youngblood, Ferris Bueller, Outsiders, Pulp Fiction, Tombstone, Goodfellas, 40-Year-Old Virgin, The Departed, Step Brothers. What you got?
Classics. I went with two comedies and two serious flicks. So my comedies, I already mentioned Big Lebowski. And the other one, first Blu-ray I ever bought, Friday.
It's a good one.
I'm a big Friday guy. The two more serious ones, Reservoir Dogs, which I already talked about as well, and The Sleeper from 1964, Stanley Kubrick film, Dr. Strangelove, or How I Loved Worrying and Learned to Love the Bomb.
There you go. Have you watched any of the Dr. Strangelove, like the recent Dr. Strangelove?
I didn't know there was a recent Dr.
I think there have been some adaptions recently. No?
Doctor Who's?
Well, Doctor Who, yeah. There's a female Doctor Who now.
But bringing up Slapshot does remind me, an honorable mention to the newer version of Slapshot, kind of Goon.
Yes, I haven't watched that with Sean William Scott.
Yeah, tremendous movie if you like hockey and laughing.
Fun hour. Strike Zone powered by Graybar. Coming up next, Ben Hockman, my guest. Don't go anywhere. Back after the news on KMOX. The sky is falling down. I know that.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!